Greetings, friends. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In our last program, we ended our discussion with the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. We proved that Yeshua was in the heart of the earth, a tomb, for 3 days and three nights, exactly as he said he would when he gave the sign of the prophet Jonah, who was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish. We also proved that our Messiah emerged from the tomb on Saturday evening around 6 p.m. at the end of the weekly Sabbath. Christ was not resurrected on a Sunday morning. When Mary and Mary came to the tomb on Sunday morning before sunrise, they learned that the sun had already risen. The Son of God came out of the tomb on Saturday evening at the end of the weekly Sabbath. And that's where we'll pick up our story today. The Bible is not explicit, and therefore I will not be dogmatic about what our Lord did from Saturday evening when he came out of the tomb until Sunday morning when he first met Mary and Mary as they were leaving the tomb in disappointment. But there is a hint in the scriptures as to what the Prince of Peace might have been doing during those approximately 12 hours. Is it probable that the anointed went to preach to the spirits in prison? Well, that's what it seems to indicate in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 19. This is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 19. Here it reads, "Christ has suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit," or resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit. "By that same Spirit he went and preached to the spirits in prison." So one thing for sure we know, this is talking about the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. And another thing we know is that Jesus the Christ did preach to the spirits in prison. And probably it was after he was resurrected on this Saturday night before he met Mary and Mary a little bit later on Sunday morning. Now I ask, who are the spirits in prison? We don't have to come up with some wild-eyed ideas or some kind of crazy nonsense. The Bible interprets the Bible. Scriptures will interpret themselves. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, we have the answer as to who are the spirits in prison. This is 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. "God did not spare the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." So these are the spirits in prison, the angels that sinned who were cast down to hell. And this word hell is taken from the Greek word Tartaro, which is T-A-R-T-A-R-O-O. And this means a condition of restraint. It is used only once in the Bible. It does not mean the grave, as does Hades. And we can see that in Acts chapter 2, verse 31, where David speaks about the resurrection of Christ, saying that Christ's soul was not left in hell. That's that Greek word Hades, H-A-D-E-S. His soul was not left in hell, which means the grave, neither did his flesh see corruption. This word hell in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, where it talks about the angels that sin, God cast them down to hell. This word hell is not being referred to by the Greek word Gehenna, which means hell fire, and Gehenna is spelled G-E-H-E-N-N-A. It is not speaking of hell fire. That's not the word used here, but the word Gehenna can be found in Matthew chapter 18, verse 9, where it says, "If your eye offends you, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye than to be cast into hell fire having two eyes." That's the word Gehenna, hell fire. So this word Tartaro means a condition of restraint. Also in Jude chapter 1, verse 6, we can see this condition of restraint, being cast down into hell, into prison, being backed up. Again, this is Jude chapter 1, verse 6, where it says, "The angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, God has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day." So the spirits in prison aren't people, they are angels that sin. And this program is not about what happens to people when they die, but I do want to give you just a few scriptures to prove that when people die, they are not conscious. So therefore, if they are not conscious, they can't hear a sermon. So it would be ludicrous for Christ to go and preach to spirits in prison if these spirits in prison are dead people who can't hear him because they aren't conscious. Okay? So in Psalm chapter 146, verses 3 through 4, it says that when we die, our thoughts perish. In that very day, our thoughts perish. We no longer are conscious. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, it says that the living know that they shall die, but the dead do not know anything. That's because we cease to exist. Our consciousness ceases. And then in Psalm chapter 6, verse 5, it says, in death no one remembers God, neither does anyone praise him. That's because, again, we are not conscious. You can think about death similar to a tape recorder. When you unplug the tape recorder, there's no life going to it. There's no electricity going to it. Our bodies are like that tape recorder. The electricity is like the breath of life. When the electricity is unplugged, the tape recorder cannot work anymore. And another analogy is that our spirits, because we do have a spirit within us, that goes back to God. That's like the tape that's within the tape player. God takes that tape and keeps it with him until we are resurrected. He will put that tape back into a different body, and he will give us eternal life, at least for those who are resurrected to eternal life. So that's more of the of an analogy about what happens to us in death. Think about it like it being a tape. Now, to back that up, in Acts chapter 24, verse 15, it says, there will be a resurrection of the dead, both the just and the unjust. But right now, everybody who is dead is dead. No one is in hell, burning in hell fire, and no one is in heaven. Everyone that is dead is in the grave. There is no consciousness in death. But there will be a resurrection of the dead, both the just and the unjust. And in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 22 through 23, we see when the just will be resurrected. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 22 through 23, that in Adam all die, but in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ will be resurrected first, and he already was. Then the faithful will be resurrected at Christ's second coming. That's what the scripture says, at Christ's second coming. That's when the resurrection of the just will occur. And then in Revelation chapter 20, around verses 5 through 11, it says that after 1,000 years, then the rest of the dead, or in other words, the unjust, the rest of the dead will be resurrected. That's when that will occur. But for right now, everyone who is dead is dead. So therefore, again, these spirits in prison could not be talking about dead people. And another thing, because Christ was dead, obviously when he was dead, he was not preaching to spirits in prison. When he preached to spirits in prison, he had to be alive, and very probably it was after he was resurrected. So the next question is, what kind of prison are spirits in? In Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 8, it addresses this question. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him. Now what is the result of him being shut up? It is that he should not deceive the nations any more until the 1,000 years be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. He shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. So that's what type of prison spirits are in. They are in a prison that keeps them from further deception and destruction. This is that concept of a condition of restraint. God restrains them from deception, and destruction. The next question is really an intriguing one. Why did the word preach to the spirits in prison? Why did the word preach to the spirits in prison? We find something very interesting in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Here it says, "Dare any of you," speaking of true Christians, "dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust, and not before the saints? Don't you know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Don't you know that we shall judge angels?" What? That's right. That's what the scripture says. "Don't you know that we shall judge angels?" Well, could that be the message that our Savior was preaching to the spirits in prison, that they will be judged? Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. This is Matthew chapter 25, and we'll read verse 41. "Then shall he say to them on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed people, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.'" So the everlasting fire, and this is the lake of fire here, this is different from Tartaru. This is the lake of fire, the Gehenna fire. He says, "Depart from me, you cursed people, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Notice in Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 through 29, what a legion of demons asked Jesus. "When Jesus came into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two men possessed with demons, coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, 'What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Are you come here to torment us before the time?'" You hear that question? They asked Jesus if he had come to torment them before the time. So they understand that there will be a time when they will be cast into everlasting fire, because that's what has been prepared for them and for Satan the devil. Earlier we read a sentence or two from several larger passages of scripture dealing with spirits in prison. We don't have time on the broadcast today to read the entirety of each passage, but I hope you'll take the time in your own studies to read 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through chapter 2, verse 22, and all of the book of Jude, because all of these passages deal with the subject of judgment, condemnation, and punishment. It's a sore reality, but there's nothing in the Bible that tells us fallen angels can or want to repent of their evil. Every indication is that they are headed for the lake of fire. That's the message that was preached to the spirits in prison by Jesus, most likely after he was resurrected on Saturday night and before he appeared to Mary and Mary on Sunday morning.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org or call us on 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.